Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
How to invest in the United States if you live in Canada. Now, don't turn off today's episode, even if you're not a Canadian investor. I think this is how you can build financial intelligence, learning all the ways that you can become a real estate investor. So that's today's episode. Let's dive into it, everyone. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. I retired from my day job at 40 years old, thanks to passive income from rental real estate. And now it's my goal to help you with this channel build financial intelligence so you can build financial freedom. We've got Glenn Sutherland on the show today. He is joining us from beautiful Ontario, Canada. And he's been doing this for a long time, helping investors understand how to invest in the United States from Canada. He started out with a whole bunch of different ways of doing this. And I think he's really dialed in this system. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Clayton. This is great.
So tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get started in real estate investing? And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, why the United States? Was there not any good real estate up there in Canada, or was it just too pricey for you?
Well, I'll do the story really quick. Basically, I was buying properties in my backyard. So Kitchener-Waterloo, Cambridge area of Ontario. And I got to about seven or eight properties. And I had a tenant that moved far away, but it was my best tenant that I've ever had. I still have them to this day. I still have some of my properties up here. So they moved. I decided I would do anything to keep them. I bought a property farther away, still in Ontario, but I got used to a distance. And once I was comfortable with managing from a distance, and I'm still self-managed on my Ontario properties, but obviously not in the United States. But once I was comfortable with managing a distance of a couple hours from my properties, then I'm like, well, if that's the case, why not just buy where it makes the most sense? Why not buy where I can get the lowest property taxes, lower down payments, lower prices, better landlord laws? If you're not familiar with Ontario, we're similar to a New York, New Jersey, or a California for laws for our landlords. So it's not really ideal to where you'd like to be. And longer loan terms, like you can get 30-year term loans in the States, which you cannot get in Canada at all. It doesn't exist. So yeah, once I got comfortable with the distance, I started first exploring different provinces. Maybe I could go out west to like Alberta because they have really good landlord laws. Maybe I could go out east to New Brunswick. And honestly, with shows like yourself, and I won't name drop a bunch of other ones, but I listen to a lot of podcasts, it got you to a point where you could think about, well, if I'm going to go farther, why not just pick the best I could possibly pick, right? So try to hit as many of your targets and pick a market to hit to get everything, right? Why just pick certain things, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly right. And I should say one of the reasons I wanted to do this show is because at my company at Morris Invest, I mean, we've helped, you know, clients from all over the world, whether it's Australia, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, and Canada. We have a lot of investors from Canada. But a common question, Glenn, that we get all the time is from people that don't know. They're like, what do I need to do? It seems daunting, you know, to invest in the United States. I'm from Canada. Can I do this? And the answer is absolutely yes, you can. There are just a few more additional sort of hoops and hurdles that you need to step through in order to invest in the United States. So let's go through those hoops and hurdles here in a second. But I first want to comment on what you were talking about, because you know, it's really remarkable to hear that the landlord laws in Canada are very similar to states like New Jersey or California. What do you mean by that? How are the landlord laws similar to those states, and why do you want to avoid that?
Well, it's the landlord eviction process, like to evict a tenant, can take a long time. I'm going through the process right now on a property in Canada, and it's like a 3-month haul. Whereas you can pick certain states, and it can be a very quick process within the month or just outside the month, right? And it's often much more affordable in these landlord states. You can hire an attorney for, I think in Missouri, it cost me $300. And, you know, they did the whole thing for me, and where things can add up a lot. Yeah,
absolutely. So that's why the states that we invest in the United States are landlord friendly. Texas being one of my favorites, where we're doing a lot of new construction properties for our clients right now. And it's just, it's probably the number one state in the country. The speed with which you can get an eviction if you need to, it really, mm-hmm. really works to your advantage. You also talked about the property taxes up in Canada. Is it that bad?
In comparison, my 2,000 square foot house I'm sitting in right now, I think I pay about $5,000 a year in property taxes, which is still pretty it's pretty reasonable compared to if you just go down the road to like Burlington or whatever, and that'd be double. But anyway, my property in Alabama is half $500. It's way below half, right? So if you're trying, it just eats into your cash flow. It's just another line item if you're trying to optimize. It's just a thing you can do that brings down your expenses to make a cash flow better.
And another thing that you said that I think is really important, and I've been kind of doing battle with some people recently about this, because I think they're smoking crack if they think that the only place to invest is in your backyard. I've seen YouTubers talk about you should only invest, 30 minutes from where you live. Of course, that's like YouTubers that are realtors in California. So they want you to buy a property in California with them, which makes sense. But yeah, there's no way, if I live in California, I'm investing in California. There's absolutely no way. The money absolutely doesn't make sense for a single family home in California. There was a famous story recently in San Francisco how a condemned property in the San Francisco Bay Area was selling for $900,000.
Yeah, well, it's you preach this on your show, but the 1% rule, and the 1% rule exists on properties usually around $100,000 or ish, right? Maybe on 75, but as you get cheaper, you can make that go up to the 2% rule if you're buying, from wholesalers or whatever, and as you go buy $300,000 or $400,000, it can get down to the 0.5% rule. And just by choosing markets that have properties that are in good enough neighborhoods, and you can find the numbers that you're looking for. You can optimize them by picking different criteria we're talking about.
Right. And, you're working with a great property management company. So you're spending the time, if you're doing it yourself, spending the time to vet those property management companies. We spend almost over a year of time now making sure that our property management companies that we work with are fantastic. And that means you can go anywhere, right? You don't have to go in your backyard. And then I like what you said about, if I started thinking about investing outside of my backyard, then where would I go that would be the best, right? The most optimal places. And then any smart investor, any big investor that owns thousands of properties, I guarantee you, they do not own them just in their own backyard. They're all over the world. They're all over the country. And that's how they're able to build financial freedom. So I want to talk about some of the things you said, and I want to dive more into now is the hoops and hurdles that you have to jump over if you are a Canadian investor trying to invest in the United States. If I'm in the United States, for a frame of reference, I'm going to set up an LLC to buy my rental property. I don't want to buy it in my own personal name. I'm going to set up a business bank account, because I want the rent going into that business bank account so that I'm being taxed as a business, right? And then I'm not commingling personal funds, et cetera. And I'm going to get property insurance, and then I'm good to go. I mean, there's not much else, right? If you're a Canadian investor trying to invest in the United States, what extra things do you need to do, and how does it differ?
So it's very similar. excuse me. You're going to need an ITIN number, which is going to work. It's called an international tax ID number. That's going to be the first number to probably get, although you really don't need it until you're filing your taxes. But certain, when you're setting up bank accounts and stuff, they will require that. So
where do you get that? You know, I mean, it's, is it something you get in Canada, something you get through the United States?
Well, it's international. So you, I think it actually comes through the United States. What I did was I got my CPA to do it for me, which is a pretty nominal fee. I think it's like they charge like $300 or $500, something like that, to do it. You can do it yourself. I've talked to some people who've been on my show and they've done it themselves, but it, instead of it being a quick turnaround of like a couple weeks, if you're doing it yourself, you're doing a mail-in, and it can take like 3 months, 6 months to get the paperwork back to do it. So for me, I'm the kind of guy that just jumps in. So I bought my first property before I had my corp set up, before I had bank accounts, before I had ITINs, and then I just figured it out really quick. I wouldn't suggest that to anyone, but that's what I did. Okay. So first thing, one of the things you need is an ITIN. And one thing that's a little different from the Americans is you hear a lot about LLCs. And for buying your properties in the United States, a Canadian wants to have either a C corp on the top. We can't use S corps. They're not eligible for Canadians. Or you want an LP at the top. And then you can put your LLCs underneath with properties in it, but you don't want an LLC at the top of your structure. The reason is the way the Canadian Canada Revenue Agency looks at the properties is then they say, well, that's a corporation. We want to tax the corporation. And then, but it's a flow through with an LLC to your personal return in the United States. So then they want to tax you as a personal as well. And you'll end up getting double taxed. The way around is to put an LP on the top, pay your taxes that way. And it's only a one-time tax thing. So that's how you get around being double taxed.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Good to know. So a C corporation, I've heard a number of our investors, we actually had one of our investors was gracious enough to kind of put together a little cheat sheet handbook based on his experience and how he did it. And yes, that's exactly how he did it. It was a C corporation at the top of the heap.
Yep.
And then the LLCs underneath that. So then if you had 10 properties in different states, you might have 10 LLCs reporting up to that one C corporation in Canada, correct?
Yes. Or you can use an LP on the top as well. The LP structure is a lot cheaper to set up and a lot cheaper to run annually.
Why would you, can you break that down for us? C corp versus LP. What do you recommend?
You know what? It depends. Like I've been trying to take down a larger portfolio of someone's properties. I still like single family, but a larger bunch of them. And that's where you start talking about going to C corp. But the fees annually have to make sense. You have to have you doing enough properties to make sense. And I'm not a CPA. So whenever I'm taking on a bundle of properties or anything from somebody, anything that's out of the ordinary of just a single property, that's when I call the CPA, get him to run it over and, you know, make it make sense. And that was another thing to have with your team is I hired a cross-border CPA, not a CPA that's an American, does American taxes, not one that's a Canadian, does Canadian taxes, a guy that specializes in, you know, all he does is taxes for Aussies, Canadians, Chinese, whoever to invest in the United States. And you want somebody like that because they're going to know how to set up specific things you're doing and when to like break off of your original structure and start a new structure.
Today's episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. You know, hiring is incredibly difficult. It's hard to find qualified candidates. It takes a long time. And thank God there's ZipRecruiter because they make it so easy. If you go to ziprecruiter.com/investing, that's all you need to do to start realizing how easy it is to find qualified candidates. Because what they'll do is they'll send your job out to over 100 of the web's leading job sites. But they don't even just stop there. They have a powerful matching technology. So ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience, and then they invite them to apply to your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That was our experience. We've hired a number of people here at our company within the first day because of ZipRecruiter. Right now, you can try it for free. You can try ZipRecruiter for free. You're just my listeners. No one else gets this. You can go to ZipRecruiter.com/investing. That's ZipRecruiter.com/investing. INVESTING. That's ZipRecruiter.com/investing to try this for free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Okay, perfect. So we now have the corporation structure. So C corp versus or an LP at the top. So yep. That's step one. You want to do that differently than in the United States. What would be the next step?
I guess you got to get set up your bank accounts. And for me, I went for, because I bank with RBC in Canada, the easy step was to go to RBC in Georgia. That's not the only alternative, though. If you there is TD Bank in the States, and they're all down the East Coast. And there's BMO Harris, which is up in the Chicago in the North End. Those are all Canadian banks. So you can move across very seamlessly by just like, because they'll have all your information. I did look at getting some like American banks, and it's a little bit more daunting to do, but still not that hard. And it actually could be an advantage to you if they have a program for foreign nationals for financing, because one of the things they're actually going to want to see is that banks love to see that you have money in a property, like or in a bank account, so that if you want to do a refi or you want to get mortgages with them, you have an existing relationship with them. So if you strategically picked a property or a bank, you could make it all work together at once. It's not the way I went, but I strongly recommend it. It could be a good way to go.
No, that's great to know. So let's talk a little bit about the bank account and the money, the way the money flows. So you set up one of these accounts. You mentioned TD. Let's just use that as an example, the TD Bank example. So you set up a TD Bank account. You're setting that up through a Canadian branch, right?
Yeah. No. I usually, you want to get on the phone with like cross-border services, and you want to be talking to somebody in like Florida or, you know, Georgia or Chicago. Okay. You want to be talking to someone down there. You don't, because there is, you can go to like RBC down the road and set up an American bank account, but it's an American funds. It's not truly American. If you try to pay a bill from that, that's for your like whatever, your water or something in the States, it's not hooked up. Nothing will go through it's not fluid. You want to have an account that's actually located in the United States. You want the money there, because then you're going to get the routing number instead of the transit number. They have slightly different things on the checks, and you want to be on the same system.
Gotcha. Great to know. Okay. So you're setting up an American version. So TD Bank, you're calling the American branch. You're getting set up with them. Okay. Great to know. And then now when you have a tenant in the property that's paying rent, it's going to go into that American bank account, correct?
Yes. So I have personal bank accounts and corporate accounts. So it all depends on how I've purchased the property and how the structure is working. But yeah, my property manager takes all the money in. Usually they take their cut off of it, which some lenders actually have been trying to get me away from doing that and paying back the fee afterwards. But it's difficult to get property manager to be comfortable with that. But side note, anyway, but normally, yeah, they go through the property manager. They deposit directly into my account. I basically give all my statements at the end of the year to my accountant. He bundles it up, does my American taxes, gives me the forms that I use for my Canadian taxes. So there's the form you get. I didn't write the number down. And you use that number to enter numbers into your Canadian one. And you want to do your American tax return first, so you have that form to do your Canadian tax return.
Okay, so you're doing your American tax return. You're filing it with the American IRS. This is something obviously you want to consult with your CPA about how to do this properly. So then you're paying taxes on the rent to the United States through your American bank account. So you're not pulling that money out. Now, you're also then going to be paying taxes in Canada. You're not going to be double taxed, though. There's a double tax, right?
They have a tax treaty. So if you've paid any tax in the United States, there's a credit that shows up on that form that will be basically... it'll be a discount on your Canadian tax return. I've found, though, if you're doing this right and you have a good attorney, you really shouldn't be paying taxes, especially when you're in buy mode, because I'm buying, and my tax return turns up to a zero because you're paying like fees every time you're setting up loans. You're paying fees when you're closing properties, and plus you can write off, which you can't do in Canada. Maybe we should talk about this advantage of writing off your mortgage. That's not a write-off in Canada. Only interest on the mortgage is a write-off in Canada. So there's a lot of extra write-offs. The depreciation period is shorter in the United States, so you write off higher amounts in the United States. So in all honesty, you're probably not paying much or anything in the United States part. It'll be on the Canadian part, and they will treat the property similar to if it's just sitting in Canadian soil.
That's great to know. I mean, yes, that's one of the reasons why I love new construction that we're doing as well because of the accelerated depreciation on the cost. We can do a cost segregation. We actually build that into our properties ahead of time. So it's actually saving investors time, and then they're able to accelerate the depreciation on the improvements of the land, like building driveways, things that you wouldn't get on just doing a renovated property. And then you can speed that up. But you're right. I mean, honestly, if you're a real estate investor, this is why you don't pay taxes. I mean, people want to know why you don't pay taxes. It's because you buy until you die. And so, Glenn, you're a perfect example of that, right? You're buying, and as you continue to buy, it's offsetting the taxes that you're making from the income from the tenant. And that's why, I mean, that answers the question when people want to know, how do real estate investors not pay any taxes? Well, you just answered it, right?
Yep. And the other thing about taxes too is when you're trying to get lending off the start, sometimes it's very difficult. Like, you don't have a social number, like social security number. You're using an ITIN, which is basically looks like a social, only starts with a 9. And as soon as any lender sees the 9, it raises a lot of red flags. So what really helps you is once you've actually filed in the with the IRS a couple of years, then you have more supporting documents, because there's always exceptions in the loan process. And sometimes they could sub out like, oh, you don't have a credit score, so maybe we can sub in this, so we can sub in that. And it's one of those things, having a couple tax returns will make your life a lot easier. So it will get better. It will get better as you go. And I talk to people like, well, I don't want to set up my corp in September or November because I'm going to pay taxes for that whole, or like I'm going to pay, sorry, not tax. I'm going to pay my like setup fee and my, depending on what state you're in, your business privilege tax for that year. And I'm not even going to use it for that much. The tricky is though, that you'll get an extra tax year in. So whenever you go to file, you're actually a year, you'll have a second piece of paper to give to the lender, which will help you. They just want as many tax returns as possible. So right now, if you're thinking about it, it's the time to get one in so you have a tax return for 2019.
Well, this is all great information. So now the $64 million question is, how do you get the money out of America to use in Canada? So how does Glenn, who invests in 10 properties in the United States with an American bank account, with an American corporation set up, how do you get the money out so that it's, are you just keeping it in America and continuing to buy assets? How does that part of it work for you?
So this is where it gets a little muddy from my personal situation, because I've used some lines of credit in Canada to purchase the property. So I do need to bring money back and forth, like went back in chunks every once in a while just to make all the debt payments for the lines of credit, right? Because it was easier for me to get lines of credit off the start in Canada than in the United States. So I am moving money back and forth. I use an LP, so it's basically treated like my money. So I don't have to do a dividend draw or whatever. I can move it and pay stuff as I need to. The way I move money back and forth is I don't use a bank, which sounds counterintuitive, but banks charge the largest fees. If you want to take money and convert it from Canada to the US, US to Canada, they're going to charge you 2 to 3%. They're just going to steal that money from you every time you do this. And if you're moving money back and forth, that adds up. Like, that's a huge amount to lose every time. I don't work or have any affiliation with this program, but I use Knightsbridge a lot, which is a currency exchange in Toronto. And they will convert it at like 0.5%. It's always, even when I went into the bank and asked for the rate the employees pay, and sometimes they'll give it to you, it's still much cheaper to use your local currency exchange, the ones in the mall or in the strip mall or wherever. They will still be, or Knightsbridge will completely blow the rates out of the water that you're paying. Off the start, I was using the banks because I didn't know any better. But it's a huge savings. The huge savings, especially if you're moving money back and forth. I try not to move money back at all if I can. I treat all my properties in the United States at this point almost like an RSP or an IRA or whatever. Like, it's my retirement money. I'm not using it. So I like to keep it. When the account gets big enough, I'll put it into a project or something. I keep it moving. I don't like to bring it back. If you bring it back, I'll end up buying something dumb, buy a boat or something.
Right. I know. That's what people say. I don't want to touch the money. I don't want to have the money. I just want to keep putting it in their performing assets. That's great. Well, this is all incredibly useful information, Glenn. How can people connect with you? I know you've got a great podcast as well. How can people connect? We'll make sure we have a link to that in the show notes page as well.
Sure. You can find my show. It's on all the major platforms. It's called A Canadian Investing in the U.S. You can also email me if you have questions, Glenn at glennsutherland.com, one N in Glenn. So I get a lot of two ends. It is the one end.
Well, thank you so much, Glenn. And Glenn was kind enough to have me on his podcast as well to talk about financial freedom and that whole process. So I'm happy to tell you, go check out his podcast as well. I love returning the favor. And you brought so much great knowledge here on the show for our audience that's considering doing this. Thanks so much, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Clayton. I really appreciate it as well.
Absolutely. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing and helping to build up your financial intelligence. Even if you're not Canadian, I hope that you learned something out of this episode, because this is how you build financial intelligence. There were about two or three different things that I had no idea about just listening to Glenn talk today. So that's how we do it. Now go out there, take action and become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth, even if you have to do it from the north. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.